In our junior year, he and I and a guy named Don Henry all applied to be editor-in-chief of the Daily Illini in 63-64. And the outgoing editors recommended me because they thought Roger was too radical. The Illini Publishing Company Board of Directors interviewed the candidates for editor-in-chief. They actually named the editor-in-chief, the executive editor, who was the number two person, and the news editor in those days. I don't know how they do it now. And so they asked me who I thought they should pick. And I told them I thought they should pick Roger Ebert because he, while I thought I would be a really good editor, Ebert was just a brilliant guy. And obviously, a guy like that doesn't come along all that often. So at any rate, they did. Not on my advice, I'm sure, but they did. And Ebert was the editor-in-chief. I was the executive editor, who was the number two guy. And Don Henry didn't get picked for anything. A guy named John Keefe was the news editor that year. Bill Knack, who's a great sports writer for Sports Illustrated, now retired, wrote the biography of Secretary, a terrific writer and intellect. It was the sports editor that year, so we had a great staff. A lot of other good people, of course. And it was an eventful year because Kennedy was assassinated in the fall, and we produced a paper, of course, about that. And then in January, while Illinois won the Rose Bowl, and we made a trip to Pasadena, we took the train, Santa Fe Chief out of Chicago. I mean, I think my recollection is they had three or four train cars full of U of I students. We left Chicago about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I think we got to Kansas City about 11 o'clock at night, at which time everybody went to bed because the club car was totally out of liquor. And Kansas City was dry, so they couldn't replenish till the next morning. And so it was, a bunch of college kids on a spree. And we got to Los Angeles. We stayed at the Biltmore downtown across from Pershing Square, which was at that time a great free speech forum where all kinds of crazy people stood around and gave speeches about things. I remember listening to a guy whose pitch was that we should all subsist on millet, which is some kind of grain. It was really fun. We did a little singing. I bought a mandolin when we were there. And of course, we covered the game, and it was great fun going out there doing all that. One night, Ebert and I went to bar hopping. We went to one place where they had an open mic, which was, this wasn't karaoke days. This was just a floor where anybody could come up and sing. And of course, Ebert's a gregarious individual, and he loved to sing, which is one of the things that's a shame about his illness, because he was a great singer. Anyway, I remember one of the songs he sang was Union Maid. There once was a Union Maid who said she wasn't afraid of company finks and Union Gingham. So we had a great time there. And then we went to a place called the Peppermint West, I remember, which was at that time the Peppermint Twist was a bar in New York. Anyway, and about midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, we decided to go back, and we got to a corner that I think was close to Hollywood and Vine and had a dispute about which way we ought to go. He said we should go one way. I said the other way. He went his way, found a cab about two blocks later, and went back to the hotel. I wound up walking back to the hotel because I never did see a cab. Got in about 6 o'clock in the morning. So that story was correct. Roger had been interested in movies for a long time. I mean, if you read the book back to when he was a kid, but he was going to the art theater in Champaign when he was a college kid and going to movies and reviewing. I think he was reviewing them. I mean, he had a great interest in movies, and especially art films at that time. And so it was a natural thing. And in the book, he describes how the job just kind of fell in his lap. They needed somebody to do it, and somebody said, how about trying him? And he started. And, of course, Roger not only has a great intellect, but he's a real humanist and absolutely fair guy. So when he reviews movies, I think this is one of the reasons people like his reviews and cotton to him so much. When he reviews a movie, he reviews it on its own merits, based on what it's trying to do rather than what somebody else thinks it ought to be doing. So, a Rock Hudson Doris Day pillow talk type movie can get 4 stars if it does a good job of what it aspires to do.
Are you still in touch with
him? Yeah, occasionally. I emailed him about 40 pages into his biography and said, oh, I'll tell you what I think later, and I haven't gotten around to doing it yet. But I email him once in a while or if I have a question. I used to, back in my working days when I was teaching, I was executive director of the Illinois College Press Association for quite a few years, and I was associate. In its modern form, it started in 1982 and still goes strong. There are about 45 college newspapers who are members. They meet once a year and have a contest and whatever. When they meet once a year, since about 87, the late 80s, we've met in Chicago. So every time we met, or every few years that we met in Chicago, I would contact Roger and ask him to speak, and it was difficult to get him there because of his schedule. For instance, we always meet in late February. Well, the Cannes Film Festival hit that date and other things like that. So, but we had him there two or three times, and this is my recollection of the last time he spoke there, which would have been it was maybe two or three years before he started having his health problems. He, kid from the Daily Illini, a couple of editors, had asked him if he would come in early so they could interview him, which he did, of course. He's a DI alum. And then he spoke to these college kids. This is late on a Friday afternoon, about, I think the keynote speaker was about 4 o'clock, something like that. He spoke for quite a while. And one of the things he said was that the best job I ever had as a journalist was when I worked at the Daily Illini, because when you work at your college paper, you don't do it for money. You do it because you love the doing it. And of course, just an inspirational guy to hear talk, and he's very funny. At any rate, after that, the kids mostly, I mean, many of them wanted to get out of there because it's Friday night in Chicago and they want to go out on the town. But those who wanted to stay and ask questions, Ebert stayed until the last kid asked his last question. He must have been there an hour and a half after he finished. There was nobody in that auditorium but Ebert and a couple of kids and me and a couple other people that I was going to go drink beer with. And he's just a totally generous individual. Roger, obviously, and one of my former students, a guy named Dan Hagen, who now teaches at Eastern, he worked for small downstate papers, Charleston, Sullivan, Effingham, all his life. He's a great journalist, but he chose to make his career in community journalism. And he is a terrific reviewer of performance, movies, theater, and as is Ebert. So when I taught an opinion writing class at Eastern for quite a few years, and when we got to that portion of the class, why, those were the two people I showed them examples of their work and talked about, showed them examples of where they had talked about their work, and in the case of Dan, why he was nearby so I'd get him to come in and talk to him. But how Ebert goes about doing his job is, first, he's a journalist. You know, he might be a movie reviewer, but first he's a journalist, and he does his homework. He has tremendous intellect because he does the hard work of doing all the reading that you need to have information to support that intellect, and then when he's reviewing a movie, he's done all of his homework then too, and so his opinions are well informed. I know him, and he's such an interesting and brilliant guy. You know, just bring up an issue and get his take on it, and you've got a pretty thoughtful response about whatever it happens to be. I mean, the world is just really lucky to have had a guy like that come along and be as willing as he is to share all of his thoughts. The frankness that characterizes his addressing his personal issues in that biography is really remarkable. And, you know, there got to be all kinds of people in the world who, if they read that, identify with it in some way and take some hope, take something positive out of it.